Welcome to Built, Wired, and Secured, the podcast where we explore how modern buildings are designed, connected, and protected in the real world. I'm Alex Morgan, and in today's episode, we're diving into Label, Locate, Live, how documentation keeps buildings operational, why it matters, where projects usually go wrong, and what decision makers need to understand before problems show up in production. Joining me today is Michael Harrington, and together we'll break this down from a practical, real-world perspective. Quick cold open. Picture a busy mid-rise office, lunch hour. A contractor flips what they think is a low-voltage breaker to test a circuit. Instead, power to half a floor drops. Lighting, access control, the vending machines, everything. Nobody can access critical systems. The on-site team scrambles, vendors have different drawings, and the breaker label reads the wrong tenant suite. It turns into a 3-hour outage and a very unhappy tenant. That chaos started with one thing, a label that lied.
Why this matters? Documentation isn't paperwork. It's an operational control. Bad or missing documentation increases mean time to repair, complicates vendor coordination, and inflates capital planning because you can't accurately scope work. Today, we'll unpack how documentation degrades, the trade-offs teams face, and simple, repeatable practices that make documentation a living asset instead of an attic archive.
Michael, thanks for joining. Start us off. Why do we see documentation go from accurate at turnover to unusable in short order?
Thanks, Alex. The answer is disappointingly boring. People, processes, and handoffs. Trades operate in silos, electrical, low voltage, HVAC, security, and nobody owns the single source of truth after turnover. Temporary workarounds become permanent because the fix is urgent and documentation is deferred, then forgotten. Add in vendor rotation and you lose institutional knowledge. From an operational standpoint, that creates single points of failure. When something goes wrong, the question becomes, what breaks if this goes down? And you realize nobody can answer it quickly.
You mentioned temporary fixes becoming permanent. Can you give a concrete example of that pattern?
Sure. I've seen a tenant install a supplemental UPS in a server closet because their critical systems needed immediate protection. Nobody updated the drawings, and the UPS tied into an alternate bus. 6 months later, attack following the original single-line diagram isolated the wrong panel and took out both the tenant's critical load and building back office systems. That emergency UPS was never recorded as a permanent change. That's temporary fix turned operational problem. Tenants feel this immediately.
So, root causes. Trade silos, temporary fixes, lack of ownership, and no version control. What about the tools? Do PDFs and sticky notes make this worse?
Tools matter less than governance. PDFs are fine if you manage versions and make them accessible at the point of work. Sticky notes are not. The real failure is process. Who updates the drawing when a change is made? Where is that update stored? And who verifies it? A living documentation program has a clear owner, a defined update workflow, and auditing built in. Otherwise, you have a paper trail that's stale the moment it's printed.
That leads into trade-offs. Owners and facilities teams often ask, how much documentation is enough? What level of detail should be required for different buildings or portfolios?
It depends on risk and scale. For a single small retail site, a one-line electrical diagram, clear breaker labels, and a short asset list may be enough. For a campus or multi-tenant commercial building, you need layered detail. One-line drawings, floor-level schematics, single-line risers for power, cable runs for critical low-voltage systems, and labeled physical panels. Cost versus benefit should be assessed against outage impact. If losing a circuit costs you tens of thousands an hour in tenant claims or business interruption, invest in better drawings and version control. If it's a low-impact site, adopt lower effort controls, but still enforce ownership and a change log.
Digital versus paper. Many teams debate that. What's your practical take?
Digital first, but with printed access at the point of work. Store master drawings in a controlled repository, cloud storage with versioning, or an asset management system. and require a printed, laminated field copy in panels and closets. Field crews often work offline on ladders. They need physical labels and drawings at hand. The combination reduces risk: searchable, versioned masters, and usable field artifacts. Also, standardize label formats and placement so anyone on site can find the right information quickly.
Let's move to examples. Michael, where has better documentation actually prevented or resolved an outage in your portfolio?
One example. We had a data center tenant with a complex redundant feed. During scheduled maintenance, a contractor needed to de-energize a panel. Because the panel schedule matched the updated as-built drawings and every breaker was clearly labeled with panel, breaker number, and affected tenant systems, the crew isolated the correct upstream breaker and completed the work in under an hour with zero downtime for the tenant. Contrast that with a similar event at another property where labels were ambiguous. That one took 5 hours and triggered a tenant SLA credit. The difference was documentation hygiene and small investments like laminated panel maps and a single line diagram in the cabinet.
Any low-cost tactics teams can roll out quickly?
Yes. Tiered steps work well. Tier 1, the 30-day actions. Walk critical closets, verify breaker labels, and place laminated field copies in panels. Tier 2, the 90-day actions. Consolidate drawings into a single versioned repository and assign an owner for updates. Tier 3, the 365-day actions. Implement a yearly audit tied to capital planning. Require documentation updates as part of any change order, and train staff on the update workflow. These are affordable and scale for large and small portfolios. That's fine until it fails, unless you make it routine. So make it routine.
Great. Let's close with three concrete actions listeners can implement over the next 30, 90, and 365 days.
30 days, designate a documentation owner for each site, walk the critical electrical and low voltage closets, and correct any mislabeled breakers or missing panel maps. Put a laminated field copy in each cabinet. 90 days, consolidate drawings into a single repository with version control. Require change requests to include documentation updates and standardize label formats across the portfolio. 365 days, build documentation audits into your annual capital planning cycle and tie vendor and contractor deliverables to acceptance criteria that include living documentation.
And add this, measure the impact. Track mean time to repair on critical incidents before and after these changes. The numbers will justify the investment and keep teams accountable. Tenants notice the difference when outages shrink and responses get faster.
For listeners who want to get started right away, visit our website to download a one-page documentation checklist and sample label templates that mirror what we discussed today. The checklist is built so you can use it on a walkthrough this afternoon and start reducing operational risk immediately.
That wraps up today's episode of Built, Wired, and Secured. We covered how living documentation, accurate labels, accessible as-builts, and enforced update workflows is a simple, high-leverage control that prevents outages and speeds recovery. Thanks for spending time with us. Until next time, make sure the systems you're responsible for are built to last, wired with intention, and secured for the real world.
Thanks, Alex. Remember, ask what breaks if this goes down, and then make sure the answer is written down and easy to find. It saves time, money, and a lot of headaches.